Welcome back once again to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. I hope you guys are having a fantastic evening. This thing has gotten loose from moving. Let me tighten this up real quick.
Evening. It's not evening.
Evening? Morning?
It's morning, man. It's 9:59 and 55
they
seconds.
They wouldn't know. Could be a PM show we're running a rerun on.
Hey.
But we're not. We're live.
Welcome to this evening show that we're doing this morning.
Oh, I got tense. I've been moving all these things around lately as far as these mics. So we're trying to get them all tightened back up. And yeah, I'll go on YouTube here in a little bit, talk to our live audience that's on there so you guys do know that I'm live. And yeah, lots of stuff going on today. B-Complex last day on sale for product of the week. And I don't even know what you guys voted on for tomorrow. Let me see what you guys got. We got Alpha Lipoic, Ashwagandha, Berberine, Attention Factor. What do you think? I haven't checked these out. What do you think? What do you think's winning?
My Berberine.
I think Berberine too.
Yeah.
When you're right, you're right.
I take it every day. It's a great product.
No, it's incredibly, it's an insane product, actually. And the dihydroberberine, which is that formula we use, it's 5 times more bioavailable than regular berberine. Super easy to digest and assimilate. And the thing is, every time we turn around, there's more research coming out about berberine and what it does. First, I always just thought it was like blood sugar. Blood sugar only related.
It works great for blood sugar.
It's great for blood sugar. It's insane how good it works. Some people call it the natural Ozempic. Now, I don't claim that, but that's what some people call it now because it burns body fat so fast without burning muscle tissue, though.
Go to the Spike Protein Survival Kit real quick.
Copy.
Yeah, and the reason I'm bringing this up, I'm getting more and more contact to people that are having memory problems, having memory issues, and they don't know what to do because their memory is shot. And that they almost invariably they all took the COVID shot, Austin.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, so, you know, this vitamin E, the nattokinase, the N-acetylcysteine, what this basically is a blood flow protocol to increase blood flow to help mitigate the effects of SANSPERs. We call them spike proteins. And it really helps increase blood flow to the brain and other areas where people are having memory issues. But I know people that had really sharp memories, and you walk up to them now, and you look at them, and they're like this. They look at you with a dull look. Then you ask them a question, they kind of stand there, and they look at you. And you're like, you used to not be like that. I mean, you know, what's going on with you? There's one guy, especially, who does screen room repair.
Yeah.
And, I mean, his whole personality has changed as he took the injections. Now, the problem with that guy is his pastor told him to take them from the pulpit. And that's a real problem. You know, here's the thing. If the pastor's not going to say anything about that, I'm okay with it because it's not part of the church thing, whatever. I think they should, but if they don't, whatever. But don't endorse it and tell people to take it from the pulpit.
Well, the issue was, be careful I say this on YouTube. The issue that you have with it is
make sure you bleep yourself.
Well, yeah, but it was never designed to be used on humans from the beginning. It was an experimental protocol shot that DARPA had worked on back in 2012. That was RNA gene therapy.
Oh, it went way before that. It went back to 2000.
Oh, yeah. But, I mean, that's when DARPA really started to play with the super soldier CRISPR-9 gene therapy and RNA technology. You can look that all up in 2012. And what happened was the program pretty much got scrapped. It wasn't feasible. And then the FDA came in later on when multiple pharmaceutical companies wanted to utilize this stuff and experiment with it. And the FDA said point blank, it was either in 2016 or 2018, they said, we will not allow clinical trials to go on with RNA gene therapy. It is too dangerous. We don't know the long-term side effects, and it is unethical to use on human beings this time. You still need to do animal trials on it. That was the FDA, and I'm paraphrasing what they said. But what's crazy about it is you fast forward a couple of years, then that thing happens in 2020, and suddenly that was the new standard care operation to run if you once they got it rolled out.
But remember, they had this stuff in deep freezers at 200 degrees below zero.
Yeah.
Well, no, here's the thing. You can't produce 4 or 5 billion shots overnight. It takes years to produce that many shots. I mean they literally –
well, it was hundreds of millions of vials, if not
no,
more.
No, billions.
Billions of vials.
They literally put this stuff, I'm trying to be careful with the words I use, into 4 to 5 billion people globally. Yeah. It was a giant eugenics protocol is what it was. And it was interesting. This nurse put this out. I got to be careful. I have to bleep myself. Breaking news, whistleblower, this lady, a nurse with years of frontline experience, said that she felt as though that very few people died of the from 6 years ago. She claimed they were killed by remdesivir and ventilators.
So she said she doesn't think the virus killed them.
Mm-hmm. She was hospitals were half empty. You know, this is the funny thing about it is we went to the hospitals, it would be overflowing with people, and they weren't. And she's saying the same thing. She says hospitals were half empty the entire time, but the deadly protocols forced isolation from the family and experimental drugs kept rolling because every COVID label meant massive government bonuses and subsidies. She said this wasn't medicine. It was murder for money.
She's not wrong. You watched it.
Patients came in with the flu or pneumonia left in body bags after being poisoned and suffocated by hospital policy.
Yeah.
This is a nurse saying this. And, you know, I posted this so you guys can read it. But the reality is that particular point of our history, when they did that to all of us, that was pretty damning for the United States of America to allow that to happen. And the sad part about it is many of you who are patriots and many of you who basically had jobs and were supporting families were literally forced into taking this stuff because you had to make money in order to pay your bills. That's what they did. And then they threw $7 trillion into the economy, Austin. And that has hyperinflated everything.
Everything.
And I mean, we told you 6-7 years ago on this show, we said if they do this, it's going to massively inflate everything permanently because you're going to massively increase what's called the M1 money supply. And when that money supply increases like that, the cost of eggs goes from organic eggs from $1.50 to $4.50 now. It doesn't. It's tripled in price.
Well, you know, that's the cheap side, though. They still go more than that. I mean, look at ground beef.
Oh, well,
but
they don't want us eating beef. They want us eating insects.
Crickets.
Okay, and so they're gonna. So now they own and control most of the farmland and the ranches and everything else because of their investments that they've done, and they're basically telling everybody what they can and can't do by what they can and can't eat, and you know. And on this show, I try to do it this way. People are also we covered this a few weeks ago when we did a show that's basically called Choices and Consequences. We always say there are rules or there are laws or there's this, and that's not what we do on the show. You have freedom in Christ. We have freedom.
You have freedom of will, in general. You're a human being.
That's right.
You have the option to make every single choice you want at any time.
That's right.
If you're an adult, you make decisions. You want to jump in front of a bus? You can. Probably not recommended. You want to do this? You do anything you want to do. You want to take supplements, stay healthy? You can. But again, there's always some type of set action that is going to occur. Every action has an equal and opposite reaction. You do something, there's going to be an action to it. Positive, sometimes good, sometimes negative. It's part of it.
And the reality is that the choices determine the consequences. We talked about that a few weeks ago. And so everybody had a choice of the COVID shot. They were forced into making the choice they didn't want. And you know, I mean, it's just some people took it. Some people didn't take it. Some people have had a bad experience with it. Other people have not. The reality is it's just a bad product, and it should never have been marketed, period. It should never have gone on the market.
Oh, and I want to add this. You're talking about the memory thing.
Yeah.
This product is really underrated on the site. It's only got 4 reviews on here. The problem with it is a lot of people haven't tried it because we never talk about it. This is an ingredient list on here that is far beyond what most companies have with any memory support. This has the carnitine, the N-acetylcysteine, ginkgo extract, bacopa extract, by the way. It was whole plant extract. Phosphatidylserine, if you know anything about phosphatidylserine, is incredibly good for memory. Resveratrol and huperzine A, whole plant. That's an extremely strong formula. It's only going to have 100 micrograms in it. This product works great as far as helping out with overall memory.
Yeah, I'm going to start taking that. I'm going to see what it
does. You should try it. Because I've gotten the same question. People are saying brain fog, memory. Magnesium brain food is incredible for brain fog. But this specifically, that's why it's called memory support.
Mm-hmm, it is. Oh, by the way, Blaze Media came out with an article like yesterday, and I posted it. It says, paralyzed in the dark, at the ancient demonic attack scientists call sleep paralysis. Now, I'm going to go here for just a second. This gets weird. Okay, this happened to me one time at a house that I used to live in over on Somerset. And the crazy part about it is I drove by that house 2 nights ago, and here's why I did it. I had a friend of mine that was with me, and she wanted to know, you know, where we used to live, and I told her the place was haunted. And you think myself, now you guys are thinking, well, come on now, you're going to talk about haunted houses? Just give me a second. And this is the thing. This is the place between wakefulness and sleep is a strange limbo where a matter of odd things can happen. And what happens is that at this point, you can actually get attacked by stuff in the middle of the night. Now, I've had it happen to me in this house where someone had died and basically had this violent death. And it was awful. And I personally believe that the person who basically died, that their wife did a seance there after they had passed away trying to speak to him. My opinion, can't prove that, just whatever, conjecture on my part. But the reality is I was there in the middle of the night and something got on top of me. I felt it pushing on me and it grabbed me by the throat. And I called in the name of Jesus. It got off me and it stood there looking at me. I know I was awake because I jumped up and grabbed a 12-gauge shotgun. That happened to me once in my life. And it went through the sliding glass doors and fled outside. I chased it with the 12-gauge. Sharon flipped the lights on, thought I'd gone completely insane. Now I'm chasing something out of the bedroom with a 12-gauge shotgun. Later on, about a month later, I was walking into the hallway, and there it stood again. This time I'm wide awake, no sleeping, and it went through the slide, through the front doors. You think, well, you don't talk about this stuff. No, because it sounds like I've lost it. And that happened to me once in my life. It was crazy. Now, we sold the house, and then somebody else sold it again. And the person who was living there basically told me, he said, look, he said, here's the thing. He had moved out to a trailer in the middle of nowhere. his name is Dale, and he told me this place is haunted. He says, this big black thing with two white eyes, and it's attacked me at night, and it runs around the house at night. I said, yeah, I know, I saw it. He goes, what do you mean you saw it? You know it's rushing. He goes, we've called the police repeatedly. We don't know what this thing is. They think we're crazy. We hear people talking in the hallways. The water turns off and on by itself. The blinds open and close by themselves. This place is like a spook fest. Now, remember, when we lived there, I had a priest come in, and we exorcised the place. No joke, we really did, and we had no more problems with it. But the crazy part about it is that if the portal's been open there because of some type of thing they've done, it's like a seance, they can come back and forth if it's open for them again, and they don't have resistance with the blood of Jesus in front of it. Now, what's interesting about this is about 2 months ago, I went by there again, and he had moved out, and his niece was living there. And she was there by herself with her friends. And suddenly, I asked her, I said, well, have you seen anything here? And she goes, well, no, my uncle tells me this place is haunted. Now, I also remembers this place.
I live there.
And she goes, but we haven't seen anything, so we're living here. It's great. Living on a lake house is wonderful. Went by 2 nights ago for rent. She's out of there.
Really?
For rent. Empty. Vacant. And I'm like, yeah, good luck with all that. But that place is a stinking spook fest. And I tell you what, you think, well, can you do anything about it? Yeah, you can have it cleansed. And you know, you have to anoint all the doorposts with oil. You have to go in and plead the blood of Christ over it. You got to bring a pastor in to pray over everything. Well, you don't have to. You could do it yourself. But the reality is that this sleep paralysis stuff is real. Millions of people have encountered it. It's happened to you. Don't think that, you know, you've lost it, because it does happen. But I hope and I pray it never happens to you. But I'll say one thing. It'll snap you tight. Now, what it did do with me, too, living in that place, since that point, which is over 20 years ago, I've never gone back to another scary movie. Ever. I don't do that. I remember Lagana Lyons told me one time, she used to work for AAA in Winter Haven, that they did a haunted mansion, haunted castle tour in England. Now, Lana's gone to be with the Lord now, and I remember she told me that they get to the first hotel, the first castle, and she's got this beautiful bed chambers in there. She goes, she's about ready to go to bed, and she says the candelabra that was on the countertop picked itself up and was floating across the room. She said, that's enough of this place. She called a taxi, this before Uber, grabbed her stuff, threw it in a bag, and she was done. She was done with the haunted mansion tour. That's the problem that you run into. Once you see this stuff, you realize how real the supernatural is and how thin the veil is that separates us. And that's why I did this, and I talked about it a few years ago. I did a show, you know, called The Space Fence. It's a great show. We don't play it anymore because it's audio only. For some reason, you guys get all mad we play an audio only show. You don't watch it. You don't listen to it. By the way, Angel Wars right now is being put to video slide. We've got a friend of mine doing that right now. So this is going to be interesting.
I
got to
cover something real quick.
All right, let's do it.
This just came out.
I want to cover that. What's what you got?
You just talked about earlier the issue going on with memory loss, stuff that's going on with that shot. This is pretty creepy, guys. The fact that this is actually even getting phased, it's going into phase one clinical trial, the first testing.
Of course it is.
Moderna is now launching RNA cancer shot trials. Experts warn of severe risk. You guys, wait till you listen to this. Just bear with me for a second.
Surgeon General of Florida said, don't use these things.
No, he said RNA technology should not be used on human beings. Everybody's established that now that has medical background that's actually phonemic. In German, that means acute, smart, wise, understanding things. The only people that would possibly still promote this after 6 years are people that are getting paid on the back end, and they have basically a financial agenda in order to promote this, period. Nobody that has two IQ cells rubbed together that knows what it's doing would do this with ethics.
But you got to remember something. This is fallen angel technology.
This is.
Yeah, this is from the other dimension we just talked about. This stuff's all real. And they're coming in and all they're doing experimenting on us, They want to reduce the ability of our population to continue to reproduce, period. And this stuff attacks the ovaries, it attacks the testicles.
Oh, no, this is a whole other level.
Watch this.
Watch
come
this.
On. I haven't read this. Let's
I saw
it.
This this morning. I read through it, and I've been reading it through the show more and more. And the more I read, the sicker I'm getting. Moderna has developed an RNA vaccine, they're claiming this, their words, for patients with advanced metastatic solid tumors. The product is in the early stages and is now starting phase one clinical trial. However, experts are warning that the injection is going to come with serious risk. Moderna said mRNA 4200 differs from other cancer vaccines under development. And essentially, according to the drug maker, the RNA 2000, 4200, delivers instructions to the body's cells to produce 7 proteins found in tumors. The intent is to help the system learn what to attack by producing more cancer cell proteins. they're going to inject your body with an RNA therapy that is going to instruct to start producing proteins found in tumors in order to produce more tumors so that the body will fight it off and basically build a tolerance or an immunization to cancer. The clinical trial will test mRNA-4200. It also will receive a dose of RNA-4106, another RNA cancer vaccine that Moderna is developing. The 42 patients with several types of solid tumors will participate in the clinical trial. Several medical and scientist experts have warned, do not use RNA-4200 as it's going to pose significant risk to the public. Risk Moderna has not disclosed because it hasn't named the seven tumor proteins that the vaccine will produce in the body. They're telling you it's going to make you start producing cancer proteins so your body can find them and start fighting them. Didn't we just go through this? RNA, COVID shot, made your body produce COVID spike proteins. It made your body basically a straight up COVID factory site. That's what it did. Now, and then it goes further down here. This is insane. I'm going to post this article. Dr. Brian Hooker, scientific officer for Children's Health Defense, warned this process is going to lead to cancer without a doubt. He said it seems, and it is, counterintuitive to promote a cancer therapy that causes cancer itself. There are several ways that RNA technology promotes cancer, and an unprecedented increase in aggressive cancers have been observed throughout the world since the rollout of the clot shot. He says innate immune suppression, nucleic acids and distinct mammalian replication contaminants in these vaccine vials are linked to cancer already, and none of these items would presumably change in a new formulation, except this one is causing the body to produce its own cancer. This is nuts. I'm not going to go any further than this because I'm going to start getting really mad. My blood pressure is going to go up, and be honest with you. The fact that they're writing this out.
Your brachiocephalic turns are sticking out.
I'm having a good morning. I'm actually fasting this morning.
Oh.
Just fasting.
How's your blood sugar doing?
Great, actually. I feel pretty good.
Good.
No purple sticks. No food. No nothing.
No.
I'm fasting at 12 o'clock.
No attention factor?
No attention factor.
Why are you really acute for that? You're motivated here.
Well, I like to do it sometimes. Sometimes I run a fast till noon. I usually do like once a month or so. I like to just kind of just cleanse the body. It's not bad for you. I don't like to do it a lot, like 2 or 3 days, because then you start getting kind of – you do heal if you have a problem. I don't need that, though, but you start getting kind of tired.
That's true.
But anyways, this, guys, don't – even
can you post this at the website?
Yeah, please. I'll send it to
really
you
important.
Too. But this
send
is nuts.
But you think about it. All of this stuff is being used for eugenics. Period.
Yeah, 100%.
And I've got a friend of mine right now. He's in his fourth cancer trial with cancer.
That's why I brought this up.
Took the COVID shot. Now he probably is in this trial, but I don't know that.
But the
crazy part about it is that, you know, do you really want to be in that trial? I don't want to be in that trial.
What they do is, here's the problem they have, and I hate this. They're taking people. Essentially, have all these different cancers. And they're saying, listen, we've got this experimental shot. It's a possibility that it's going to kill your cancer. But we're not sure it's experimental. You got to sign off, release liability, everybody. Can't sue anybody for anything.
Sounds like 2020 again.
That's what they do. And they give these people this, in my opinion, they give a lot of these people this false hope. We have this shot. It's experimental, though, but it might cure you. And they try it. They use these people as guinea pigs. I've seen it before.
People are desperate.
In most cases, they die or they have reoccurring cancer. Just saying. And then they turn around and go, whoop, phase one failed. We're going to tweak the RNA a little bit again and do another one next time. Mm-hmm. Because these people volunteer for it and they sign off and release all liability waiver.
Well, I had a friend of mine. I've talked to you about him a few months ago. And he's doing very badly, by the way. He's lost over 50 kilos now, over 100 pounds. And he looks like a walking, talking skeleton now. And he's in another clinical trial. They keep telling him, oh, we got another clinical trial. And I told him, I said, here's the deal, bud. I said, barring a miracle, which you can have, it could happen. God could save you. I said, you need to get ready to meet Jesus. Now you say, well, God, that was cold. No, that was very real. I had another friend of mine, his wife was about a week away from dying. And she had metastasized, you know, ovarian cancer. And they had fought it for like a year and a half with all types of protocols that were not effective. And I told him, I warned about some of the protocols that would not work, and he tried them anyhow. And then he's yelling and screaming at her a week before she dies because she won't eat healthy. I'm not joking. She was already on morphine. She was already on her way out. And I looked at him. I said, dude, let her have the last week of peace to make it right with God. Just leave her be. There's no point in doing this to her right now. And so he listened to me. And then she passed away. And the sad part about it is my deepest condolences to him and the family and to my other friends that have had these things that have happened to them. There's a certain point in time when our expiration date gets punched.
It just happens.
And it's not because it's necessarily something that God's doing to you. Not necessarily. But the Bible says, don't you know that ye yourselves are God's temple, that his spirit lives within you. And if you destroy God's temple, he will destroy you. Now, I don't think he comes down and hits you with a lightning bolt, but he just allows natural things to occur that, you know, that are going to do things to you because he doesn't stop it. And it's because he knows this. First of all, let me explain something to you. If you live 1 billion years, you know, in heaven, our time here on this planet is minuscule. It's just it's like a drop of water coming out of a gallon of water. Just dripping, it's gone. And so when we realize that, we understand that, you know, we might as well get prepared for what's next. Am I right or am I wrong? And we have to be ready to meet God at any point in time, because once our expiration date gets stamped, it's over with. We're out of here. What was that famous line of that movie, Gladiator? He said, when death comes and smiles at you, might as well smile back. You don't have much of a choice. And when God says, okay, it's time to punch, it's time to go. And you don't need to try to put somebody through some unbelievably horrible protocol, make them suffer and just be tortured for months before they die.
Doing, you know, what, 4 rounds of chemo a week they were doing?
They gave him 2 bags of chemo a day, or 4 bags.
It's
I can't
insane.
Remember what they did to him.
He said he was almost dead from that.
Well, his heart almost stopped. He went into ventricular fib.
Yeah.
Magnesium deficiency. And they had to hospitalize him. He's going to die. And, you know, and I told him, I said, you know, and the thing about it is I love him. He's a great brother. And I've talked to him for years. And I told him, I said, you got to build your immune system. What's your D3 levels? Never been tested. He could tell me once, not one time. Here's the problem with all of this stuff, Austin. When you have a macrophage, which is a white blood cell, it has 2 sugar molecules on the bottom of it. It's like this is a macrophage, and there's 2 molecules down here. But it turns these molecules on and clicks this macrophage into fire up, so it starts killing stuff, is vitamin D3. It's like a switch in there, like a DEFCON 2. You got to have 2 different keys to turn on the missiles. This one turns on, this one turns on. That's D3. Without D3, you can't turn that on. So they're saying, oh, we're going to do this stuff and do all this stuff. Why don't they just step it up and do a, you know, macrophage turn on to make the body use its own immune system? But they don't do that. They constantly go in and go in and go in with more and more experimental drugs. And the sad part about it is when you see it, you kind of go, well, they're torturing these people. And they are. They don't even check their D3 levels. That's the mind-boggling thing to me, is if you don't test the D3 levels, you can't activate the body's own immune system if you don't have enough D3. That's why you got to take D3 K2 every day. Keep your D3 at about 60, 70. Get it tested, you know, a couple times a year. Make sure you don't get over that and just stay with it. It's very important that you do that. And so, again, this article doesn't even mention D3. It doesn't. Why? Because they don't necessarily want D3 to work, do they? They want their, quote, experimental vaccine to work without D3. Heaven forbid you actually get the body's immune system involved in getting rid of the cancer cells. Because remember, our body gets cancer every single day. Our body gets rid of cancer every single day, period. It's the abnormal division of cells. That's all it is. And so if we continue to have an immune system that works, the cancer doesn't take us over. For a woman to have a 1-inch breast lump in her breast that's cancerous, it takes about 10 years to develop that. It doesn't happen overnight. It takes like 10 years. And what I always suggest, and this is what a lot of oncologists also suggest, is that if you do have that breast lump, don't ever let them biopsy. Just incise it, take it out in one entire piece, pull it out, be done with it, and then close it up. Then you can test it. But you don't want to puncture your can. Why would you puncture an aerosol can full of paint? It blows paint everywhere. That's what the body does. It encapsulates the cancer, puts a sheath around it, and now all of a sudden they went, let's do a biopsy. And how many times have you heard this? We have this lump, then they biopsied. Next time they checked, it was all over the body. It spreads everywhere. You want to just take the lump out. Lumpectomies are fine. I have no problem with that. Radical double mastectomies have not shown to be any more effective than lumpectomies, period, in the research that I've read. But anyhow, let's get off that topic. Student loan defaults, Austin, are now hitting record highs in the wake of these COVID-tied payments pause expiration. Defaults on student loans have surged across the United States, reaching record levels as borrowers struggle to keep up with payments. Numbers have spiked since payments became due again following a lengthy pause intended to provide relief during the COVID-19 pandemic. Today, around 9.5 million people, or 1 in 5 federal loan borrowers, are in default. That means there's like 60 million people involved in this, meaning they are more than 9 months behind on their payments. While credit scores can suffer when borrowers are just a few months behind, entering default brings a possibly more serious consequence, including garnished wages or Social Security payments. For now, the Trump administration has held off on such involuntary collections. Folks are struggling to make ends meet and cover all the rising costs and everything else. The growing student loan bills are making things worse, and folks are falling behind. Now, I'm going to say something to you about this, and we talked about it before, but it's been a long time. If you're going to go to college, you major in something that you can use. I'm letting you know that. Don't major in underwater basket weaving or gay studies or transgender studies or whatever the heck you want to major in. Don't do that. Now, it may seem appealing depending on what your persuasion is, but the reality is it's not marketable. And I said that very nicely. I said that nicely.
That was actually really well said.
I said that nicely. So what you don't want to do is get into a situation where you have $100,000 of student loans because you decided to major in Black History Month. You think, well, that's crazy, but yeah, or gay studies, or whatever. Whatever you want to major in, it doesn't matter. I'm just picking these because they're useless degrees. And now, if you try to go into a woke company and you have DEI basically in there, they might be able to hire you some of that stuff. That way you can harass all the other employees because they don't use the proper pronouns. But the majority of people out there in the real world that aren't being controlled by BlackRock, State Street, and Vanguard, they don't want you to use the weird pronouns on people. If it's a she, it's a she. If it's a he, it's a he, period. You don't get to choose what you are. That was determined for your birth, despite of what your weird, unbelievable liberal parents have told you. Don't get involved in that kind of stuff, guys. And don't be. It'd be better for you to learn how to be an electrician or a plumber. You say, well, I don't want to have to be an electrician most of my life. Okay, learn how to be an electrician, then hire people to run the electrical thing for you, and have crews going out and doing stuff for you. Same thing with roofing. Same thing with, we have to have people out there that are willing to maintain infrastructure, period.
I talked to a buddy of mine the other day, and he said that he works a lot with the market and economist, and he said we're going to see over the next 5 to 10 years a massive, massive, massive demand in trades as far as in job areas.
I remember.
Because what's happened is this younger generation, they want to be TikTokers, or they want to be OnlyFans. I'm just being real with you guys right now. There's no marketability. There's no useful purpose to you. It's just consumable crap that they want to produce. The problem with it is the trades, electricians, roofers, plumbers, HVAC, that's an industry that's never going away. You always have to have your AC serviced. You always have to have electrical work done at some point. You always have to have new roofs in Florida. Those jobs are never going to win. You can never replace them with AI. Can't be done. You're never going to. At no point in time do I think in our history we're going to basically see, 20 robots on a roof putting shingles together.
We
you
will.
Might, yeah, but the, here's
won't,
here's
won't be, won't be while we're alive.
It won't be while we're alive. You may see that 100 years from now, but the technology and basically, especially starting to put together very complex roofing like GAF shingles that are architectural that have all these different inlays you got to do on them. I don't foresee having heavy robots on roofs running around doing that. It'd be funny to watch the first part going to fall off. But that trade industry is going to explode at some point because there's going to be a continual demand and there's going to be less individuals that are doing it. It's supply and demand at 101. It's very easy to watch that in the future. And he said that he's told a lot of his young friends that are kids, they want to, I want to major in, underwater, basket weaving. I want to major in this. He goes, the tech world's going to eat these guys alive. The AI models that they're putting together now are going to replace the vast majority of these really, really mundane jobs that these kids want to do now. And he goes, and the problem is now with AI, Twitter, OnlyFans, TikTok, that's being replaced immediately. I mean, there's people now that basically are going out and they're creating OnlyFans accounts fully with AI systems. They're setting dating profiles up with AI systems.
Where they're not even real people.
They're not real people. That industry's already corrupted with AI.
Well, they're perfect. They're beautiful women, and they look perfect. And the problem is that they don't exist in the real world. They just don't exist.
Don't send me letters on this. I'm just being real with you guys right now. And so that industry for young kids is going to explode as far as trade schools because there aren't going to be any. You're going to see this big gap. Because this industry now is going further and people are going to want to retire. You got guys now that are in their 50s and 60s have been doing this for 40 years and they want to retire. Young generation goes, well, I don't want to do that. I want to do professional TikToking. I want to dance around like a clown and smoke my vape and have people push the like button. There's no feasibility of that in long-term money management. It doesn't generate
anything. It's going to go to AI. And what will happen is BlackRock, State Street, and Vanguard will start controlling it, and then you'll be down long. Your algorithm is going to go away. Your money's going to stop.
Just drop your algorithm.
I remember Hunter was like 4 years old, your oldest son.
Yeah.
And he decided to put a bunch of toys down my toilet and flush them.
He did.
There you go. Is that real enough?
He thought they wanted to go on a water slide.
Yeah, and they did. And he flushed them down, and they plugged up the main line.
Yeah, there's no way to get them out.
And there was no way to make the toilet flush. And so finally I brought a plumber in, and he took the toilet, and he said, hey, look, you got something in the line. I've got to run a snake through it.
Long snake.
Yeah, I got to run a 100-foot snake with an electric drill, and I got to clean this up and grind up this stuff. I got to run it all the way back to the first clean out. And I'm like, well, that's like 100 feet away. He goes, got to go. He says, it's going to be $500. I said, $500? Well, I got to take the toilet off. And I'm like, Unbelievable.
It's probably at that point in time.
You have no choice.
You have no choice because I don't have a 100-foot snake with a drill set on it.
Well, no, and it took him about 30 minutes, and he got it done. $500. And I'm like, dude, why did you just charge me by the hour? You know, well, I don't do that. And so then you wanted him to book, basically hook up your water stuff for you in the man cave next door in the shop. And he goes, and he did it. And he did it. He gave you a good plan. He goes, I don't invest in this anymore. I know we can have enough money. Because the plumbers who basically bid on those new construction jobs, they have to be competitive.
Yeah.
When you're doing repairs as a plumber, you can say, hey, I'm sorry that your toilet's running over. It's going to be $500. There ain't nothing I can do
other than that. Or we can let it flow over and it can ruin all your hardwood floors and flood your house.
Yeah.
Or I can fix real quick for $500.
Well, no, and this is what happens. And then people see it over and over and over and over and over again. And you start to realize that.
But at the end of the day, that industry starts getting smaller and smaller, the price is going to go up.
It has to because the guys...
You're going to call plumbers. They're going to go, we're not business anymore. We'll call so-and-so, he's the big one.
We got the ranch up in North Carolina. We got some land up there in the middle of nowhere. And we have to get a bush hogged every year, right?
Yeah.
And so last year, the guy was bush hogging. He got into a head-on collision with somebody else's trailers and equipment. He got like 8 broken bones.
Not on our property.
No, it wasn't on our property. Yeah. He ended up driving on the street. But when it happened is he ended up being in the hospital. He had to quit. He couldn't longer bush hog. He had a 15-foot, bat wing bush hog, with a 100-horsepower tractor. You mow the whole thing in about 8 hours.
Yeah.
Okay. So now what happens is now we're trying to find somebody else, and then nobody wants to work because this guy was like 80 years old. The other day I had a doggone electrical short in one of my fuse boxes. I called up my 85-year-old electrical contractor who worked for NASA who said we didn't go to the moon. He came over and fixed it in like 5 minutes. It was crazy. I mean, we had to wait for an hour for him to get here.
You call electrician, though. A hard electrician on a cold call.
Oh, it'd been at least $500.
Probably $500.
But he fixed it in 5 minutes or 10 minutes. We had to change it. We had to rewire some stuff. But he's an electrical engineer. And he's almost 90 years old. And Rich stayed here with me, and I stayed here with him. And he literally had it fixed in five to 10 minutes. He was done. And I thought to myself, wow. And his name's Lee Hsu, great guy. And I looked at him, and I told him, thank you for coming out. And I said, I wasn't letting anybody touch anything until you, Lee Hsu, looked at this, because I know you can fix stuff. But if you want to make money, that's what you do if you don't want to go to college and get $100,000 in student debt. I don't know what else to say. I know so many guys with HVAC, they're millionaires. Plumbers, millionaires. Electricians, millionaires. You go, really? Yeah, really. Now, the reason a lot of people don't want to do that, well, I don't want to get my hands dirty. I have a funny story. Michael Ferry, I love that guy. He was great. He used to ride with the Hells Angels.
Cool, dude.
He used to work for me here at the house. He had a hat on all the time. And one day, both of us are shoulder deep in sprinklers in the mud. I mean, we're digging a hole and we're fixing sprinklers. He didn't know how to fix them. I showed him how to do it. We're both covered in mud. His hat falls off. His hair falls into the mud. His hair is down to his butt. And he looked at me and goes, that would be a problem for you? I said, why do I care about your hair, dude? He goes, well, what do you mean? I said, it's your problem. I said, it's covered in mud. Good luck with all that. What a mess. And I'd never seen his hair. He'd worked for me a year. He always has his hat on, all coiled up inside his hat. Does it make you mad? Like, why does your hair make me mad? I could care less what your hair looks
your
like.
Your hair, man. Have fun
your hair. Have fun with it. About a week later, he comes back to the house. Hair's gone. Donated to Locks of Love.
Yeah, donated it. Yeah.
And I said to him, I said, what are you doing with your hair cut off? He goes, honestly, if it didn't piss you off, I wouldn't make it a statement. It didn't mean anything to me either. It was a big headache. So he said, remember that? And he was so funny. The one time we had he drove the RV out west. He had a CDL, and he basically was going to fly back from Denver. And I'll never forget. I told Sharon because we had some extra points from the airlines, and I got him upgraded to first class.
Yeah.
So he sees the ticket, he flips out, and his wife goes, "Ted's flying you first class. You got to get new clothes. Remember this?"
Yeah.
And he goes, "What do you mean?" He goes, "You can't go in old clothes. You're flying first class." And so he gets in the plane. He's in first class sitting up front. He's never done that in his whole life. And they think he's with NASCAR.
That's right.
Are you with NASCAR? Blah, blah, blah. It was such a power moment for him. He was a great guy. Man, I love that guy. He ended up passing away because he ate junk all the time. But he was a great, great man. Great, great Christian. Great, great father. Great everything. I really miss him. By the way, excess weight now has been linked to a massive amount of cancer increase.
There you go.
Now, I'm going to say this, and I'm going to be very clear about this. I think this study is flawed. Now, here's why. They're not taking into account lifestyle factors with the obese. They're not doing that. They're saying, well, if you have a certain percentage of body weight over, you're going to have an increased risk of cancer. Here's what they're not talking about. What are you eating is because they make you overweight? Are you eating pork, which causes cancer?
Are you eating ultra-processed foods?
Are you drinking a bunch of dairy products that are ultra-processed? Are you drinking and eating all of this junk that causes cancer? Oh, now you're obese. Now you have cancer. Now, also remember, when you get overweight, your body still has to feed those cancer cells. And it still has to oxidate those, those fat cells. It has to feed those fat cells and oxidate those fat cells. And if you have an extra 50 or 40 or 100 pounds on you, the body is being taxed from a nutritional standpoint and from an oxygen standpoint, and cancer cannot live in the presence of oxygen, and you will increase your risk of cancer. They don't even go into that in here, period. They just talk about, well, when you're obese, you have an increased risk of cancer. But they don't tell you the causative reasons why. The reason is what they're doing here is they're saying, if you've got a headache, take some aspirin.
Yeah.
And that's metaphor. Okay, I didn't say that in here. But what it means is that you're getting cancer because you're fat. No, you're getting cancer because of your lifestyle choices, which have made you fat.
That are making you fat. There
you
go.
So when you read stuff like this, always ask yourself a question. What's the real cause? What are they trying to say? And they're saying basically, you know, it doesn't matter anything what you eat. It only matters that you've gained too much weight, which isn't true because of insulin and high fructose corn syrup. You want to get fat and get cancer, you'll increase the risk just with those things and eating GMO foods.
Well, and you're not even seeing the end of it yet now, because now what we're seeing now is this GLP-1 revolution where everybody's starting to take this pharmaceutical drug in order to lose weight. And what's crazy now is now fast food companies are starting to adapt to this. They said Burger King now is preparing for the GLP-1 revolution so people can still eat fast food but won't get as many calories. Look at this. This is crazy. They said the weight loss drugs have reshaped how Americans are eating. They're eating less calories now, which that is a positive thing.
Well, that makes them lose weight without the weight loss drug.
Exactly. Imagine that. I actually have self-control and discipline. I don't eat 3,000 calories per meal anymore. That's the part that humors me. Secondly, though, here's the problem. Majority of the people are having so many health problems after they run Ozempic is because they're not changing their diet. They're just eating less of what they already ate. So their caloric intake is going down, but their nutritional value that they're getting is still subpar.
Nutrient density is too low.
Nutrient density is not there. And then you run into the same problem. I said, when you start eating this processed food, this high fructose corn syrup, this glyphosate-ridden bread, all this fast food, your body stops being able to uptake proper nutrients and absorption. You know, vitamin A, vitamin K, vitamin D, vitamin B12, all these things stop being basically up. They can't uptake anymore. Body can't get them. A, the food's already devoid in it. Secondly, the body's so inflamed it can't absorb anything. So what's happening is now people become very, very, very depleted in nutrients while they're reducing their calories, while they're losing muscle tissue, and they can't get it back. And so it says now Burger King's actually changing their menus and making basically these, oh, pretty much Ozempic bites is what they're calling them now. And so the meals are going to be smaller with the same kind of food, but they're just going to be smaller portions so you don't waste the food anymore. And the crazy part is to me about this is, like you just said, wouldn't it be easier just to stop eating so much food and have some discipline about what you put in your mouth?
You know, yesterday I remember I was talking to a friend and they wanted to go by and get a hamburger. You know, and I said, well, if we get a hamburger, I said, but if we're going to have a hamburger, we're going to split it. Five Guys hamburgers, were they 1,500 calories, Austin? Something
about
crazy?
12.
1,200 calories?
Well, yeah, about 12.
Yeah,
as long as you don't get
on
mayos
it.
On it, because I never get mayonnaise on mine. The mayonnaise is 120 calories right on top. If you cut the cheese off of it, which I like the cheese, I'm not going to lie, the cheese is like 60 to 80 calories per slice. Mm-hmm. So if you cut the cheese and the mayonnaise off, that shaves off like 300 calories. That pushes it down to like 1,000, I think.
That's a lot of food, man.
900 to 1,000, yeah. It's a lot of food. But now if you do the mayonnaise and extra cheese and all this other stuff.
Well, let's not forget the french fries.
Oh, well, the french fries.
And a shake.
The shake, the french fries, and the full burger, I think, are around 2,400, 2,500.
That's enough for 2 days almost for some people, for some women.
Yeah.
So the whole thing about it, if you're going to do this, just split the meal and don't eat the cheese, don't eat the french fries, and don't eat the doggone.
Don't get mayonnaise on.
Don't get the mayonnaise.
I don't get ketchup, and I don't get mayonnaise on burgers. I get mustard only.
Here's an interesting article. We've got a crushed EV here from Ford. American EV has been crushed. Will it take the entire U.S. auto industry with it? The largest U.S. automakers are backed away from electric vehicles. Mm-hmm. The decision may make them obsolete. They're trying to go, you need to stay with the EV vehicles because they're booming globally. No, they're booming in China. That's what they're doing because they're making super cheap EVs.
Well, they're super cheap. You can buy them for like 20 grand.
Well, and plus they just use them around town. You know,
there is no long drive in China because they're in a freaking communist government. They can't travel anywhere.
Well, because they don't have the proper credit score.
No.
The first sign of real trouble arrived 2 years ago in the guise of the electric SUV, so knew it did not yet have an official name. Fast and capacious, leaking quiet, with plenty of comfortable seating, enough juice to carry the family 350 miles. This is all hyperbole.
It was because it never rolled out.
Yeah. And the charge vehicle unveiled May 23 at the Ford Investor event, Michigan University, Michigan factory town of Dearborn. It's beautiful. Doug said, the head of Ford's EV unit, promised an audience, and it's unlike anything else in the cyber safari, a personal bullet train, he called it. He had a good reason to be optimistic, buoyed by billions of dollars in federal money through Joe Biden and infrastructure and generous $7,500 consumer tax credit. The electric vehicle market in the United States had hit historical highs, climbing from an annual sales of roughly 490,000, which I don't believe those numbers, in 2021, to more than 800,000 in 2022. I don't believe those numbers either, an increase of approximately 60%. Many experts believe that the United States was now poised to enter the fruitful second phase of what's commonly known as the S-curve, in which the early interest in emerging technology gives way to widespread adoption. If they were right, and the data from other parts of the globe suggested they were, no, they didn't. It's all lies. The rollout of a long-range electric SUV was more than savvy thinking. It was investment in the future. There's no place to charge these wretched things. The charging stations are always broken down.
They are.
And yet the project seems to have been cursed from the outset. Unlike many of the earlier Ford EVs, the bullet train was not merely retrofitted version of an existing vehicle. It basically was brand new. It was an entirely new car requiring a large and complicated battery system to make it that was always broke down. In April 2024, Ford pushed back to sale of the bullet train by 2 years to enable Ford to take advantage of the emerging battery technology. And finally, it was killed entirely. They destroyed the whole project. It's done. They're not even going to release it. At that time, the comments went relatively unnoticed, but it soon became clear that Ford was sent to retiring of the Lightning pickup truck, which was an absolute fiasco. 80-mile range with a trailer. 80 miles? You can't even get to Tampa for that.
Here's the problem with that truck, and it wasn't just the range was a joke. It had a 20-foot trailer. It went 86 miles. They had to do an emergency stop. There's a whole video on YouTube with it. This is honestly, this video single-handedly crushed the sales of it because these guys got a test F-150 Lightning right when they came out. It's a pickup truck. It could tow up to 10,000 pounds, 20,000 pounds, whatever the rating is on it. And they said, we're going to carry a 20-foot aluminum trailer, camping trailer. And they left their property where they do it, and they end up, we're supposed to have like 250 miles when they started. And it kept dropping, 210, 180, 160, 140. Finally, they had to do an emergency stop at a Target parking lot and charge it up. Here's the problem. They couldn't get the charging station with the trailer. So they had to drop the trailer off in the parking lot, then park the truck and charge it. And it took almost an hour and a half to charge it to full capacity battery so they could get the trailer back to their camp, back to their property.
80 miles, yeah.
So it ended up being, and it was, they never got to their destination. They had to go back because they couldn't. It was going to be another 100 miles to go to the destination, and they couldn't find another charging station, or they were going to have to stop again in like 40, 50 miles, unhook the trailer, charge it up for another hour, then get to where they were camping. They said, this is obscene. It's going to take us all day to go like 150 miles. And once that happened, people said, this isn't feasible. These are useless vehicles. They're good for golf carts that go around town. And for that, they're amazing. I think if you live in a small town or community, you're going to be commuting 5 or 10 minutes. And you got plugs at your work and plugs at your house. And you just plug it. That's all you're planning on using it for. Pretty cool, pretty cheap, pretty whatever. Just plan on losing an insane amount of money on it. There's no resale value on those cars at all. 50% off the first year.
One good technology came from this, though. One good one. I remember Brad Pitt came out with a movie a couple of years ago, F1.
Yeah.
Phenomenal movie. I've seen it multiple times. Love it. Every time I get on an airplane, if they have it, I play it because it's so entertaining. And it's supposed to be done, a lot of it's supposed to be done with computer generated or whatever, but I don't care. I love it. And the reality is that they're, in one of the scenes, he's mad. And she goes, you've got to stop. You're running on batteries only.
Yeah.
Remember that? He had forgot to crank the motor up. He's running on his F because.
Well, they're hybrids.
They're hybrids. Now, Mercedes developed that technology, one of the primary developers of that technology for their Formula One race teams. And what they do is they put a battery system and they tie it into the drivetrain to increase the offline torque.
Yeah.
And boy, does it work.
It does it work.
Okay, Mercedes did the same thing with their G-Wagon. Now they've got that.
Porsche's done it now, too, with the turbos.
And what it does, it gives the car this unbelievable offline jump because there's no spooling up to get the torque from the internal combustion engine. And then the engine kicks in, and it's seamless with Porsche and with Mercedes now. And that technology is phenomenal. It really, really is. And it's going to be here for a while, and it's going
to
stay.
Well, you don't have to plug it in. The car never dies from it. It still runs on petrol. You put premium in it.
But it doesn't help the fuel mileage.
Well, the performance vehicles, the fuel mileage wasn't a... Well, that was the ironic part. They did it to try to go green. They don't go green, even with especially the car.
She said, you're going to kill your batteries.
Yeah.
And what they do, the batteries you use when they come out of a corner, when they romp down on the car, it pulls so hard that it makes... Well, those Formula Ones are rocket ships.
Well, then it charges back. So what happens on braking, and when they brake again, what happens is the braking friction goes back to the battery charging.
Now, I tell you what, in another life, which we don't get, but if I had another life, I would love to be a Formula One driver.
Oh.
That would be
you
so
be young though now, man.
Oh,
it's a young
boy!
Sport.
But I mean, it's a you talk about you driving a rocket ship on a track.
Most of those kids get into F3 and stuff by the time they're teenagers.
Well, they start yogurt that on simulators.
Oh yeah, well, they're doing the little go-karts of 5, 6, 7 years old,
and they're doing thousands of hours of sims. Yeah. And I remember that one.
Yeah, that's what's changed that entire industry is the simulators they've built now. Because those simulators, they had old school ones back in the 90s and 2000s. They were janky. The new ones now, I mean, they're $500,000 simulators. They're a full F1 car in a full wraparound screen with all the hydraulics on the suspension reactive handling, just like it handles on the road.
Well, Brad Pitt's in the simulator for like half a day. And he sets his car up, changes the brakes, changes this, changes this.
You tweak everything on it.
And then the black guy who's in there, who's a good actor, he comes in and he goes, "What's he doing in there?" He goes, "He's been in that simulator for 4 hours, changing." He goes, set my car up the exact same way this is. Okay, but it's a great, great movie, and so that's the kind of technology that came out of this industry, and I actually like that. That's a good technology. It makes the cars a lot faster, and it makes them more fun to drive. But that's it. Now, also, some of them are okay, too, that Honda developed and Toyota developed a long time ago, 10, 15, 20 years ago, like with the Prius, which I would never drive that car. That's like sucking
Prius.
Well, that's like sucking on a pink flute vape thing that Austin talks about. Prius, don't. If you're an alpha male, don't buy a Prius, please.
The tech behind it is cool. I'm not buying one, but the tech behind it is
cool. Well, the new ones aren't too ugly. The first ones were. But I remember we had a friend of ours who was a little bit iffy, and he...
Remember, he
bought a Prius.
The early gen ones, though.
And he had it for like a week, and it broke down over on Highway 60 or 98 or whatever.
98 going to Bartow like 2 in the morning.
And he calls me up. And he goes, "Can you come help me get this thing towed in?" I'm like, "I told you not to buy that piece of junk." And we went over there helping. You remember that? It's in the morning. I'm like, "What the heck are we doing here?" But I think we had to get a tow truck out there for him.
Yeah.
And I told him, I said, "Dude, Toyota will cover this for you. It's brand new." "Oh, can you help me? Can you help me?" And I'm like, "Gee, you are not an alpha male," but a lot of guys like those Priuses, but they kind of like are a little bit different. I just don't want to say that. I'm not saying that they're all different, but
what they're trying to do now. I told you this. This article came out. We're being warned the global inventories are close to nothing on oil now as we plunge the most severe oil crisis in
history. Total lie.
Oh, another one on Marketplace. Oil is facing a supply crunch.
The war in Iran is the only problem.
This goes back to what we just talked about. The EV market has been in a downward spiral for the last 2 years now. They have to have something that they can basically resurrect it or at least maintain this industry. They've got to tell everybody what the next boogeyman is. It's Iran. Iran, U.S. trading missiles back and forth. Conflict, oil's through the roof now. There's been so much stinking money that has been made with the inside trading speculators. I had a guy tell me this in the market. He said everybody was basing their trades off what they heard Donald Trump was going to say the next day. You watch that the first 8 weeks of that conflict. He'd say something, oil'd go up. He'd say something next day, oil'd crash. And they were betting on it. So they'd say, "Well, Donald Trump's going to come out tomorrow, and he's going to say the Iran war is done. We've got a peace treaty." And he would. Will drop $15 a barrel. They'd short it, and they already had shorts in. Then they'd say, "By the way, Donald Trump's going to say, we're going to annihilate Iran tomorrow. Okay, we're going to long it now." All of a sudden, oil goes up $15 a barrel next day. And these guys have made hundreds of billions of dollars. There's a reason, only reason why gold and silver have gone down like they have is because the money, the profits out of those metals moved into the oil industry. You watched it. Right when silver crashed, oil started to go through the roof because the Iran war. They almost happened simultaneously together. Nobody noticed it. And then you have this article right here. One of the largest silver miners on the planet says they cannot satisfy demand from India, China, Saudi, and Kuwait. Yet the prices on the open market are not going up, but the physical markets are going through the roof.
What's happening is
the premiums are just going up now.
What are the prices? What is the price of silver now?
Oh, on the market up here? Oh, they're saying that, where are we at on here? They're saying the silver's at, you know, what is it, 60 an ounce today, 59. Just they buried it down. So, but again, you try to buy an ounce, you try to buy one ounce Eagle.
Buying it for 60.
No, not buying it for 60, anywhere near 60. But again, that's how they've manipulated this market. So be careful what you read and what you watch. There's a reason why they're trying to keep everybody distracted right now with this Iran conflict. Once again, there's a reason why the little hats said that we will do everything. I mean, J.D. Vance said it on Joe Rogan. He said, "We know for a definitive fact that there's people in that country that are trying to sabotage any deal we can to finally get out of this escalated war we don't want to be in."
Well, no, the problem, no, it's, first of all, Trump's doing exactly what he's being told to
That's
do.
That's exactly right.
This is Epstein. This is the Epstein files. This is Trump being mentioned 50,000 times in the Epstein files. This is that. This is like, hey, you're going to do this for me right now. I'm going to snap my chain tight on you. You're going to do what I tell you to do. Okay. That's okay. That's what he's going to do. And so when Benjamin Netanyahu, about a month ago, 2 months ago, said, this war is not over, I looked at Austin and I, on the show, you can watch it. I said, this ain't over. I said, Benjamin Netanyahu and the Kabbalist Luciferian synagogue of Satan's sect have basically deemed it so, and they control our country and our government, period. That's how they do. Oh, by the way, cut the number of choices you make each day and your brain will thank you. In other words, let AI handle it for you.
There you go.
Just let AI handle it. Jeans that fit perfectly. The ideal Netflix show for a Tuesday night. Your one and only soulmate. Modern Lifetime promises that with enough options, you'll find happiness. Best of everything. Behavioral science say the increasing flood of choices and consequences, whether it comes to shopping, social lives, or relationships, is doing the opposite. No, it's not. People aren't doing that anymore. People are just basically choosing AI to make choices.
Exactly.
The idea that more choice is better is baked into Western culture, but research shows that having more options can make people anxious, indecisive, and less happy with what they pick. Now, that is true. Okay? Here's the problem you have. If you have buyer's remorse after you buy something, you go out and buy a new Chevrolet Silverado, and you think, ah, I should have got the Ford. And now you're upset. Now you go to trade the Chevy Silverado back in, and you lost 10 grand. You're like, ah, I can't believe this happened. That's buyer's remorse, and it will make you very stressed out. It really will. That's why be careful on the choices that you make and the consequences they create. If you say, well, I'm going to buy an EV. It's a $100,000 Tesla. I can sell it in 2 years. I'll get 10 grand for it. That's not a good choice. It's a bad choice. Bad. No go. Don't do this choice.
That's your set consequence.
That's your consequences. And so the reality is be careful with cause. There needs to be a TV show called Truth and Consequences. It was called.
Yeah.
I mean, we're talking old school now. We're talking like 60s TV show, maybe 50s. I don't even know. But it was the truth and the consequences of the truth. That's the problem that you have when you have so many choices, because people are always trying to find the choice that's going to bring them happiness. The consequences will be happiness. That's what they want. Happiness is fleeting because it's based on happenings. So you go up and down all the time. It's unbelievable, unstable roller coaster.
Your choices need to be dictated on what's the best optimal solution set point. It's going to be the best choice.
And the reality is it's through the infilling of the Holy Spirit that we get righteousness, peace, and joy, period. Happiness is not part of that equation.
Well, this is why, and I've talked to so many people, and I've helped so many people with car deals over the years, and this seems to be a common trend with females.
Who'd you learn all that car stuff from?
A lot with you, and trial and error on my own once I got out, and certain things do not to do. And I was joking with my buddy the other day, and this is, I'm not saying this to piss anybody off, but I've always seen that a lot of times females, when they do vehicle deals on their own, a lot of times the dealerships always rip them off. And because what they do is a lot of times they base their decision and the dealership preys on their emotions.
And they rip the guys off too also.
Oh, they do too. There's a lot of guys on there that got ripped off. So what they do is they prey on your emotions. Oh, well, this is the color you really want. These are the options you really want. Instead of buying, you know, a Platinum, just buy a Lariat with all the options on it. I've watched it before. We'll get you better deals. It'll be $2,000 less to do it this way. Well, you don't realize when you go in, they book it as a Lariat only, and they build it as a Platinum only. So when you get a Lariat with $10,000 in options, those $10,000 options are useless when you trade it in. Same thing goes with that on every vehicle.
Count for zero.
I could write a book on it. I've learned so much over the years. And so what happens is you have to make a vehicle deal and many other decisions based on what is the best set solution point there and then in long term. What's your exit? I'm shocked. On how many people I talk to sometimes to buy vehicles and they don't have their exit when they put their entry in. Meaning, anytime I buy a vehicle, before I even purchase the vehicle, I'm already looking at my exit. What's optimal solution? Says it 6 months, 12 months, 18 months, when I'm going to get out of the vehicle. And most of the time, I've done pretty well on it. Sometimes gotten cooked a little bit, but you learn the hard way sometimes, but you also adapt. And so when you're buying something, you got to look, what's the best time to keep this? What's the longest time I'm going to keep this? What's the maintenance going to be? Am I just going to keep it 10 years? Great. I'm going to run it. What's the tires? What's warranty? What's this? What's that? But don't just buy something because, well, that's the color that I want. And that's the model that I want. It looks good right now. It's going to make me feel good. That's going to go away in a month. And what's going to happen is now you're going to deal with the consequences of the vehicle already depreciating 40% in the first 6 months. You're going to go, oh, my gosh, I'm upside down in my vehicle now. Do your research. Now, one article I want to cover here. This just came in. Another one. It says, Acai, the miracle berry, is coming back again. Goes into detail here, talking about how acai is the mainstream flavor that's synonymous with wellness now. It really came out in the 2000s. There's nothing mysterious or magical about acai, but it's a little fruit that's jam-packed with helpful vitamins, minerals, and antioxidants, and it's been used for centuries, but it's gained a lot of notoriety over the last 5 years, and there's a good reason why. They said the first thing, essentially, when you start looking at it, is that it's similar to, looks like almost like blueberries. However, the antioxidant intake of it over blueberries is significant. As you might imagine, harvesting acai berries from a giant palm is a challenge. That's what makes the product so expensive. It says, but the powerful combination of antioxidants, vitamins, minerals, and nutrients has earned its title superfood. Compare the fruit to another well-known superfood like blueberries, you'll find that acai has more antioxidants, protein, iron, vitamin A, vitamin C over blueberries in every way. Acai is hella higher in healthy fats, lower in sugar, and with credentials like that, it's no wonder it becomes tremendous effect on the body. I'm going to put this out there because this is one of the reasons why. Polyphenols. These are antioxidants that are the largest group of phytochemicals found in plants. What they do is they've been linked to help combat inflammation in the heart and throughout the rest of the body. The reason why I've got a gram of acai in this, and I've said it before, and I'm going to say it again for everybody that hasn't heard it, or those in the back that weren't listening, is that you've got to have antioxidant support when you're taking a stimulant. We don't use straight caffeine or synthetic caffeine out of China like most companies do. We use green tea extract. Green tea extract doesn't spike cortisol nearly the way that coffee does or other caffeine does. But even at that, you've got to have phytonutrients and ingredients that are going to support the body and reduce the inflammatory response. This is one of the reasons why when you start using copious amounts of coffee and large amounts of caffeine, you start getting headaches. You start getting irritable. You start getting tired if you don't get it. It's part of it is you're wearing out your adrenals. Second is cortisol. Thirdly, is an inflammatory response. Your body is getting too much of a stimulant. It's getting inflamed. You start getting more tired. You start getting more irritable. Cortisol doesn't go down. That's why this product doesn't do that. Everybody I know, every single person that has replaced this product with other heavy stimulant products feels better long-term, doesn't have a crash, and gets better long-term support and less inflammation when they use this. So if you're trying to get off pre-workouts, like I used to back in the 20s, the main reason why I have this, I used to do heavy pre-workouts in my 20s, start having heart problems from them, or you start drinking Red Bull, or you're drinking a lot of coffee, caffeine, or basically, you know, the cappuccino, espressos. Try this out. Give it a shot. I got a 90-day money-back guarantee on it. Replace your other products. Try it for a couple weeks. Give me a review. Give me a response. Give me an email. And let me know what you think of it because there are so many more nutrients in this than any other product. It works. It doesn't crash you. It doesn't cause long-term adrenal exhaustion. That's why I put the acai in it as well.
You can take that and you can mix it with a little bit of lemon, fresh lemon. Don't use a concentrated lemon. Use a fresh squeezed lemon.
Yeah.
Lemon juice. And you can mix it with a little bit of vitamin C.
Yeah.
And you put a little magnesium brain food in it, and boy, does it make a good tasting beverage.
I didn't think about the lemons.
Lemons are great.
I've done it with vitamin C and magnesium. No, that makes
by the way, social media influencers Andrew and Tristan Tate have been are now arrested in Miami and held without bond.
I saw that.
Well, they were running a dating scam out of Romania.
They were.
They were
doing a bunch of what was it? What did they call it back then?
Marriage thing. They were trying to go over.
Cam girls or whatever. Yeah.
And what they were doing, they were getting putting girls in there to guys who were talking to them, and they weren't even talking to these girls, and they were getting them to give them lots of money, a lot of money. And then they were trying to meet these girls, and they didn't exist. So that was the problem they ran into, and they did a lot of that stuff. And then they've been out there with a lot of other stuff. They say they're misogynistic and stuff. Now, I'm not saying these are good people. I'm not. But what I'm saying is now they're being arrested, but they're big-time Trump supporters. They're saying that Trump may actually pardon them.
Well, they've also been very, very, very prominent speaking out about a lot of the little hats, a lot of the banking cartel, and a lot of the giant matrix that we watch and see now that's continually manipulating people's minds.
I think a lot of what's happened is they've basically evolved and become truth tellers at this point, and now they don't know what to do with them because they let them get really big, and now they have to shut them up.
Yeah.
And now they're going to supposedly put them in jail. So, you know, here's the thing.
They've been through this already multiple times, though.
So. Keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus all the days of your life. And we talked about the sleep paralysis and all the kind of things today. When I called on the name of Jesus, that thing stopped instantly, period. Remember that. They're not allowed to touch you. Because remember, they know who Jesus is. They're really mad they basically put him on a cross because he was resurrected, and they don't have, they can't fix that. But they know who he is. They know he's the Most High God. And so when you call on his name, it scares them, and they leave you alone. Always plead the blood of Christ over yourself when you go to sleep at night. Always do that. I love you guys, and I appreciate you. Thank you for your support. Keep your hearts and minds in Christ all the days of your life. Austin, what you got to say?
Have a good evening, guys. Enjoy yourselves. Stay strong and healthy. Need anything? We got 3 packs, bestsellers, everything on the site. Be complex. You need it. Last day on sale today. And apparently, Berberine's winning tomorrow, so stay tuned on that. Have a great evening. Stay strong. We'll talk to you again tomorrow, as always.